Tell me what's the difference when trying to get it on your own. Born rash, yeah, gotta go and get rash long. Can't forget about the times I was hung out alone. Now I'm getting to the money and I'm rocking all these shows. Never mind the things, I'm pulling on, rocking on designer chains. Fucking on the bitch, and you know she slipping out on the dick. Counting on the rash, yeah, I'm on my shit. Close to the stars, high life. What you gonna do, tryna get my two lives? On my knees, yeah, I'm tryna get it right. Fighting all the demons all around me. So what you gonna do is you gon' fight. Gotta be well protected. Separate all the wrongs in my life. Gotta be well respected. Keep a pistol on my side. Drive off in that Lexus. Swerve off and go get high. Tell me what's the difference when tryna get it on your own. Born rash, yeah, gotta go and get rash long.
Disclaimer. The opinions expressed during this podcast are conversational in nature and expressed only in comedic and entertainment purposes. Not all of the facts will be correct, but we attempt to be as accurate as possible. At least I think we do. My bad, y'all. Theater holds no liability over this conversation, over these conversations on this podcast. And you know, using this podcast, you understand that it is solely for entertainment purposes only. Enjoy the damn show. Laugh, love, live, and smile more, because we about to.
You good?
Yep.
Oh.
All right. And I'm going to cut your mic for a minute, because I got to get this.
No, you can't be. Now, as you
up, hold on. Okay. Because I got to, damn, I forgot that.
Somebody hurt you a year ago, 10 years ago, or a lifetime ago, and somehow deep down inside you can't shake it. Sometimes you say it never happened, but you know deep down inside it did happen. So you try to deny it and that doesn't work. You suppress it and somehow it keeps popping out, and sometimes it pops out in an embarrassing fashion. You know that deep down inside something happened back there that you can really identify. In fact, you can point your finger toward the person. And what seemingly was merely a little hurt in the beginning somehow is solidified like concrete in your mind. It's just there. It lays there. It hangs there. The burden of it is there. You'd like to shake it. You'd like to get rid of it, but somehow you just can't do it. You got hurt so badly that somehow you feel like, I will never be able to overcome this. Well, I want to tell you, my friend, yes, you can. Because you see, if you don't overcome the hurts of the past, what you'll find out is this. Those hurts can do great, great harm to your life. So what we have to do is we have to decide how we're going to handle this hurt. Am I going to handle this hurt in such a way that it harms me in every aspect of my life? Or am I going to learn how to handle this hurt in such a fashion that I can take it? And I can handle it properly and be able to learn something from it, glean something from it, grow up as a result of it, and not allow it to hurt me. Because God does not want us to respond to hurts in such a fashion that we are devastated in our life, lose our witness and our testimony, go through life bearing some kind of emotional baggage that we are never able to escape.
And our great physician says, I got the prescription. He said, what's happening is you get hurt by somebody, and it turns to anger. And that anger eventually, if not dealt with right, it turns to bitterness. And if that bitterness just stays there, it becomes what the Bible calls a hardened heart. And it changes who we are as people. It changes who I trust or don't. It changes who I let in or don't. It changes how I respond out of my insecurities. It changes how I crush people with my words. It changes how, if I just meet you, I start off not trusting you instead of trusting you. It fires off my insecurities and all kinds of, it changes this hardened heart that comes from bitterness. It changes who we are and how we live. And the great physician says, I got the prescription. Here it is. You don't have to live that way. Here's the prescription. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And here's the word, forgive. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you.
All right, y'all. I'm going to leave that right there. All right, Ian, you back on there. That was a motivational speech from Above Inspiration. I forgot the guy's name. But you ready?
D. Okay, y'all. All right, 1, 2, 3. We back with another episode of You Don't Pay Me Enough to Care, and I'm your humble host, Sebastian Sincere. And y'all already know the vibes. And this goes out to the homosexuals, the heteros, and the hustlers. Y'all know what time it is. Y'all already know what we be on over here. Y'all, we speak nothing but truth and nothing but real. And we on episode 49. I don't know what the name of the show is because most of the time I go off what's going on in the show to name the show. So, like I said, y'all, we got Ian in the building. We got...
Wayne Shakur.
You want to speak?
Oh, hey, everybody. How y'all doing
tonight? We got Wayne Shakur in the building. We got the lovely Christina.
What's up?
Not a million, but just Christina in the building.
100.
And like I said, y'all, so how's everybody doing? Like, what's going on? Like, how's everybody day been going? And you can start with you.
Okay, well, shoot. Of course, as always, I've had a long day, and by the time I have got here, all my everything has been spent. But it has been a productive day. Laundry and grocery store and things of that nature, so.
Laundry and grocery store? When did you wash clothes?
Laundry and grocery store and things of that nature.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew I was on the phone with you like for most of the day, and I never seen you.
Yes, most of the day. Yes, you do try to pretend to know what's going on, but you don't. At any rate, though, so what's going on with you?
What's going on with you, bro? How's your day, bro?
Man, she's chilling. Got up, worked out. That's first and foremost. Chilled most of the day until I got ready to come here.
Okay.
Smoked me a couple. Got my mental together.
Okay.
Been reading.
Okay.
Been reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Who is that through?
I forgot the author.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I heard of that, but I just can't remember who it was.
I really just basically started the book, though. So.
It's a book? I don't know why I think I heard that.
Fact check that.
You gotta start reading,
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
I encourage everybody to read it, because, man, a lot of what's going on is in these books. Like, the biggest muscle on the body is the brain. Like, so when you put that in there, your body and everything else are aligned. So,
right.
You gotta start reading them books.
Okay, so how was Christina? How was your day?
I plead the fifth.
Already.
On the whole week.
You plead it.
On the whole week.
Okay, well, like I said, y'all, we on episode 49 of the You Don't Pay Me Enough pod. And like I said, this goes out to the hustlers, the homosexuals, the heteros. This is for everybody. I want y'all to, this is an open space for everybody to come on here and speak how they feel, say what they feel. And I want this to be a space where everybody feels comfortable and welcome to come on the show. And, you know, that's just what it is. Let's get right into it. So, the first thing on the docket is the thin line between love and loyalty. Who put that on there, and why are we on that subject?
I put that on there.
Okay.
Because, like, we were having a conversation a while back. And me personally, I was seeing everybody's point of views too, like, so it was like, but what made me ask that is because a lot of people was leaning towards love, and I was like, you know, love can change, but love also has, like, to me, has, like, a lot of different meanings, because you could love a person from the way they make you feel, you could love a person from their touch. You can love the way the person make you. You know what I'm saying? There's different types of love. You really can't just put love in one category, because you can fall in love off of the littlest thing. And then I was like, you know, love is more so an emotion. And some people love you, but a fold on you. But when you loyal to a person, it's no limit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then me, I was like, with loyalty, it's love there. And respect, because when you're loyal to a person, then you gotta love them. And then secondly, you gotta respect them to even want to be loyal to them. So I just felt like I would rather have loyalty than love. But it's a thin line between the two, because you could be loyal to a fault off of love. And sometimes you be loyal towards the wrong people because you love them. So that's why I was like, overall, I was still saying like loyalty. But then again, it was like it's still a thin line because it's that love. Like,
so let me, because I agree with you on this. Like, and it's just from my past experiences, because I like to talk about things that I've been through in my marriage. It was like, I can be loyal as hell to you. I can love you at the same time. But when do you think you draw the line between the two that it's kind of like we giving each other that love, we giving each other that loyal to a certain degree, but then you do things to make me kind of like push back from the loyalty, because it's like you showing me that loyalty, but then it's like, how, I'm trying to make sure I word this right, because I don't want to, how am I supposed to stay with you and be like for you if I feel like you're not for me in a sense, but you're doing everything right, mm-hmm. to a certain degree, you're doing everything right. Well, I can't say you're doing everything right, but you're doing the most of the things that checks off my checks and balances right. But then it's this one thing that I feel like you trying to like sabotage what it is that I'm trying to do with my life. So like, do you feel like at some point in your life when you with the person that you with, at some point you just got to cut it off? Or do you feel like I can still love you and be away from you versus us being together in this union that's not feasible for me or you because you doing shit that's not adding up, the math ain't adding up?
But then that's when you gotta your tolerance on it. Like, how much of it can you tolerate? Mm-hmm. And then with the loyalty, what is your loyalty based on? Because everybody, like I said with love, loyalty got so many, like, why is you loyal to? Well, I'm loyal to you because you're loyal to me now. Like, when you say you're loyal to me, like, why are you loyal to me? Because you saying that, I'm going to just be like, you only saying that because I said it. But, like, you ask me, like, why I'm loyal to you now, I'll be like, well, I'm loyal to you first off because of the fact, like, what you do for me to make me better as a human being, being the brother that you is to me. Like, that's where the loyalty, I'm loyal because I'm your brother. Mm-hmm. My brother's keeper. So my loyalty is based off of me being my brother's keeper.
Okay.
So, if, like, that type of situation was to occur, like, sabotaging me.
Yeah.
What type of sabotaging is you doing? Can I tolerate this type of sabotaging that you creating on me? Because it's forms of sabotaging, too. Like,
because, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to piggyback off of what you're saying, is that, like, let's say, like, you with your girl, and, like, you got all these goals and dreams and things that you want to do and this, that, and the third, and they don't have the same drive as you. You know, do you stay with the person, like, even in the whole spectrum of, like, I love you, I care about you, we going to do this thing together? But is it like, sometimes I feel like you have to like pull back from a person for them to see like what it is that's not, I guess, feasible for you or some shit like that. Like, and that could be, you know, like all of it is love. But I'm like, when it comes to like the loyalty part, it's like, I can love you enough to let you go.
That's where the loyalty, like that's where I feel like that's where the loyalty is, because you love me enough. And you so loyal to me that you willing to let me go to get me together. And okay, I would respect a woman for being like that, like, versus going out cheating and making the situation worse.
It's about the commitment.
Yeah, basically. But what you think on it, like?
I mean, I don't know. Like, my first thing is always try to uphold the commitment that we first had. But I feel like on the loyalty thing, but of course that would be something that we would have had to work out from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, we build on that so that we can, you know what I'm saying, that would be kind of what would be making us loyal to each other, like the experiences and stuff, and you had my back, and I had your back, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we got through this together and stuff, and we worked together, you know, I mean, those are the things that I helped to build a relationship, but a loyalty also, I feel like, too, is a friendship, too, right. And people should be thinking about that, too, when they get in these relationships and stuff, like, but now when you get into the sabotaging thing, I didn't kind of understand about the sabotaging thing, because I don't understand what did you...
I'm going to speak on that. Okay, in my situation, they were supportive with, as far as, like, what I wanted to do, but once I started doing it, you're bringing all this negative energy towards it. That's not making me feel like I should do it. Like, it's like, okay, you want me to do it. You're happy for me to do it. But then here you go with all these complaints and, like, just unnecessary arguments that I feel like shouldn't even be had. Because, like, you've been around me long enough to know what type of person I am. Like, I'm never doing anything malicious to hurt you or our marriage or our union. None of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, when you sit up here and pick an argument over something that's, to me, it's little. It may be big to them, but I kind of feel like, yeah, it's like, well, at this point, now I don't want to do things around you because every time I do something, it's some type of negative energy coming from you. It could just be something really, really small that it's like, you know what I'm doing right now. Why are you throwing this energy towards me to make me feel like I don't need to do this shit right now? Like, just
being like he was counteracting your energy instead of trying to, like, melt with the energy that you had. Correct. Because, right, yeah. I understand. So,
that's what I mean by sabotage, because sometimes a person can be real jealous of what you're doing or envious. Like, and I don't know if that was the case with the person I was with, but it was just like, It's not lining up with what I'm doing, because every time I do it, why I don't feel like complete to do it around you?
How you ever looked at it, like, and then we gotta let Christina chime in, like, how you ever looked at it as, like, your dream and they dream, so they can't see what you see.
Remember that? Go ahead, bro. I mean, keep talking.
Like, most people, you can tell a person, like, prime example, like, say me and her, like, she know I'm into music, but she's into makeup and stuff like that. Even though the two can go together, because, you know, that's kind of like in the entertainment industry, music and makeup. But the more I'm talking about my music and she's really not interested in it, and that's my dream.
Don't now look at the thing. Is it on? Is he talking? You got it on him talking?
Don't necessarily. Okay, I'm sorry, bro. Like that.
You good? As long as you see it on that thing, you good. You got it on him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily mean like she kind of being negative, because it's like your perception on what they were saying to you, like how you take it. So like I said, my dream and her dreams may not be aligning with each other. She may not see it because I'm telling her about it. But then once she start to notice the progression of it, and then she start looking like, oh. Because now she's seeing it like, she already know, like, the two go together.
Right.
But it make more sense now, like, she's seeing my dream unfold. And now it can spark her dream, like, so now she can come in, like, now, like, she know I got interviews, though. Like I said, even with makeup artists, like I said, they still got to come and do foundation and stuff on people when they on the camera, so their faces don't shine and glare on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So now my dream that came into her dream. So now both of our dreams, you know what I mean, it's blossomed. But it's like, I can't take it as her being jealous of my dream off of some of her reactions, because from the jump, like, I see where her interest is at. So I can't make her like my interest until she starts to really see it unfolding. And when she see it unfolding, that's when she'll grab. So, like, and that's what I was saying, like, maybe he wasn't jealous or envy of you. It's just his dream and your dream wasn't aligning with each other. But he would have been more supportive when he would have seen it progressing, because sometimes you got to take that as fuel to show your mate, like, this is what I've been trying to do. And they be like, oh, okay, now I see.
Okay.
Go ahead, Christine.
I don't know, y'all just said a lot. But, you know, like, with loyalty, you know, that's just, like, basically I'm going to ride with you no matter what.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So no matter if you doing something, you know, that I don't agree with totally or I'm not totally on board with, you know, loyalty, like, that's what you have for, like, your family. Mm-hmm. You can, like, not talk to your cousin forever, and if somebody try to do something to them, you all over them.
Right.
Like, y'all talk every day, because that's the loyalty that, you know, you get. Love. Love is just a feeling. Loyalty is an act.
Thank you.
You know, it's just, love is just a feeling, and it's, you know, what they say about love is fleeing anyway, so.
And like you okay. said, like, you can love your cousin and then just, you know what I mean, fall out of love with her, but like you said, the loyalty is what's going to make you stand firm with them. Like, I don't care what you did to me, bro, but I'm still going to knock a motherfucker out if I hear him talking down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so look, I'm going to stop this real quick. D, when you film it, make sure you catch everybody's attitude, too. Like,
I am.
Like you can flick it anytime you want. You can catch what they, how they looking towards her.
I've been doing this.
Okay, I got you. Just want to make sure, like, just catch everything. Like, you got to push 2 and 3. Like,
come on, I got you.
Okay,
hey, bro, if you had a screen in front of you where you could flick, bro, you don't want to flick it, motherfucker. That's his thing, like, bro. Flick.
Bruh, like, this shit, like, it be the edit for me that I be like, okay, I didn't even catch that. He looking. But, okay, so let me ask y'all too this, because I get what y'all saying. So, okay, y'all, let's just say y'all careers is not going the same exact way. And you see something, like, you following your dream. But don't y'all think when you love somebody unconditionally, even if you don't understand it, should you go into it with that person if you really care? Like,
yeah,
I feel like
as long as our bills is not going to be affected,
like,
because that's for me first and foremost. We need to keep this roof over our head and keep you know what right. I'm saying, something up under our feet. Now we got to have a place to operate from. So as long as our bills not being affected, honey, I help you go towards any dream you want to do. Long as the bills is not being affected.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what he mean. Like,
because y'all, like, I'm really like.
But that's kind of like it's a like, unit. Like, yeah. You're saying a unit. And that's what you mean. Like, I see what you're saying. Like, you want to be that unit when you're doing it.
Cause yeah, it's like, it's like, even if I don't get what you're doing and I don't care what you're doing, but I'm going to do it with you because I care about you.
Like you said, sometimes, me personally, like, everybody ain't like me, but sometimes I be liking a person. Like, when they see me doing it, they be like, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing. Give me a little input. Like, nah, look, I feel like this is what you could do to improve it. But don't be trying to, like, downplay it while you trying to uplift it. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I think you was meaning about sabotaging, too. Like, don't praise it, but then down it at the same time, because what you're doing,
and it's not even
my energy away from it, like,
and piggyback off what you're saying, it's not even that they like downing it, but it's just like they throwing salt on it to where it's like you don't want to do it around now. Like, you can be like going to the studio every day, knowing that when you go to the studio, that's what you got to do. You there for 8 hours. You could be there for 24 hours sometime if you're doing an album or a mixtape or whatever. But this is your dream. Like, and I feel like as your partner, the partner should be like, okay, I get it. I don't understand it. But then this is what they do. Sometimes they do this. Well, you be at the studio too damn long, and this, that, and the third. Like, because they ain't getting enough time with you and all this old other stuff. Like, and then you looking at it like,
but I'm doing this to better our lifestyle, like, or I'm doing this to better what we going through now because you have a bigger dream than what they seeing. Like, and sometimes I feel like when you in a relationship, a lot of the times your mate don't really understand the hustle of it all. Like, and it's like, just sit back, chill on what I'm doing and let me show you what it is. But don't get to the point where you getting so tied up in your emotions where it makes me feel like I can't follow my dream around you because now you're bitching and complaining about me being at the studio for 3 to 4 hours.
Or you want to relate, or is it just because you just want, what do you want, a relationship, or do you want this fabulous career? See, that'd be my thing too. Like, well, who do you want?
But look, right, you can have both. Technically, you can. Like you said, it's all about your mate. And I want to piggyback off what you were saying when you was talking about how the studio, because I was dealing with a person like that, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And to the point, like, I really didn't want to even let them hear my beats and nothing like that, because sometimes you do, you be so hyped to let your partner hear what you got going, and then they get the, yeah, that's all right. Mm-hmm. But then you'll see them all high go for the next person. You be like, damn, like, mm-hmm. like, fuck it, I don't even want you a part of it.
But don't that make you feel some kind of way? Like,
that's what I was saying. Like, it do put a damper in that shit, because it be like, damn, I really came to you because it's like, first and foremost, you supposed to be my biggest and number one fan and supporter of whatever I got going. Whether you, like you said, agree with it, mm-hmm. understand it or not, try to get some type of understanding so you can be able to tolerate it. But if you're not trying to understand it and tolerate what I got going on, then we're going to have to think about something else, because this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And this ain't no hobby to me. And that's where it comes to where you got to really define the two.
You need to want the same thing.
Is you doing this for a hobby? Because now, if you're doing it for a hobby, then it's pointless.
Right.
Because right. now they got right. your mate got the reason to be right. on what they are. But if you really doing it to really get y'all financially stable, and this is your career, this is your passion, this is something that you really like love doing, and they don't really like grab hold to it at the moment, don't get too really discouraged, man. Because like I said, they may not fully grasp it until they see it, because they already seeing a podcast out there, and they already automatically gonna compare yours to that because y'all in the same field. So it's gonna be like, well, why yours ain't? But mm-hmm. you gotta realize they started where I'm at to get to where they at. So
right.
shit just takes time. It get better with time.
But yeah, I feel like when you in a relationship, sometimes the mate don't understand where you're going in life. And that can really fuck up your relationship. Like, because then sometimes you being the person that's driven and got goals and dreams and aspirations and going full speed at it, like, you know what I mean? And it's not like what you said, like, is you focusing on the career or the relationship. To me, I feel like if whoever you with, you supposed to be able to focus on it all. Like, because if I, let's just say, for instance, prime example, let's just say, Ian, you say, I'm about to go to school to be a doctor. You with somebody, you in a 6-year relationship, you just decide you want to be a doctor. Now, mind you, it take 8 years to be a doctor. And then you still going to school after that. Like, so, even when you doing all this work, going to school, it's hours on hours of studying and this, that, and the third. And you got to take time out of your life to focus on these things. And sometimes you may not focus on your mate because you got to really put the study time in. Like, look, I'm a love on you, but you got to let me do my thing. Like, and I feel like a lot of people, like, when you get with somebody, they don't understand that aspect of it. Like, when you talk about being with somebody together forever and all these things and being married and all of that, you got to understand that everything is not going to go as planned as, like, somebody being up under you 24/7. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not that, like, you focusing just on the career or the relationship. Your mate's supposed to understand, like, okay, my baby is doing this to be great or whatever. This is his passion. This is his what he want to do. You know, I need to take a step back. But then you got people that be out there and they be you doing all this shit to be to better your relationship and better y'all lifestyle, all this shit. But then they out there cheating because they ain't getting enough time with you. And I feel like a lot of the times people be selfish because they don't have nothing going on. And then that's when it comes to a point where you like, but to me, I feel like, let me get somebody that works just as hard as me. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to be with somebody that's just sitting there and I'm doing all this shit to come up and rise above whatever. And they just sitting there like, But then they got all these complaints and all this stuff. And it's just like, I feel like when you get with somebody, you got to find somebody that's that thing in the whole Bible where they say equally yoked.
What I said, before the last time, y'all have to want the same things. So yeah, and that comes out in the beginning part when y'all developing y'all friendship and y'all loyalty and y'all bond. Like, yeah, all those things can be there. But sometimes when maybe your dream might be overpowering the relationship, it might not be like, oh, I don't want you to achieve your goal. Like, I want you to achieve your goal, but damn, like, I want some time too. So you need to respect. It's going to be like a give and take, and y'all going to have to just respect each other's needs and wants, because I mean that's a relationship. I mean,
yeah,
doing that. So
how you feel, yeah, Christina?
Like, you know, if I'm doing something that I really want to do, I really don't even seek no validation from nobody about it. Like, if I feel like I want to, you know, if I feel like
I
feel very passionate about this, I ain't going back on it. Then at that point, I'm not even seeking validation. I ain't even asking for permission. I'm doing it. And if you know, you can't handle it, okay.
But me, I like that in a woman, because that'll make me get behind my woman. Like, because if you can stand firm like that, that's what's called putting your foot down. And when you put your foot, like, she put her foot down, and that'll make a motherfucker be like, oh, man, let me get behind my girl, because she going to do it whether I say yay or nay. She's going to do it. So I ain't got no choice but to get on board, regardless of how I feel. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, too, in the relationship, you also, when you're dealing with a person, you got to sometimes look at their parents, man. Because the upbringing reflects a lot of how the relationship going to go, too. And that's just something I've been learning. Like, as I'm getting older, my mother and them used to always tell me that when I was younger. But like you said, when you be listening to your parents. But then when you start having kids of your own, that's when all them little conversations that your parents had to you start kicking in, and you be having with your kid, like, you know what I mean? Because I be finding myself having with them. Mm-hmm. So, like, you got to do, like, what they call a background check, because some of the upbringings be showing you red flags in a person, too, because that's what they did. It'll stand out, too, like, because you just start seeing it, like, that new type of behaviors. Mm-hmm. It should be a pattern, like.
Yeah. That's some real shit. Okay, yeah, because like I said, like, it's that thin line between love and loyalty thing, like, it'll really, really put a damper on your relationship if y'all both don't understand what's going on. Mm. And I feel like a lot of it really be communication. Like, if I communicate to you what I'm doing and what it's going to take for me to get there, then you should just chill. Like, it's going to be nice where I ain't got time to, like, chill and sleep and have sex and all these things and cuddle and all this shit. Because I done been working all day. I've been studying all day. And, you know, shit. Then you go home. You got to cook, clean, whatever you got to do. You know, and I just feel like a lot of the times we don't communicate to our partners what it is that needs to take place and for it to be great and to flourish and all those things. Like, so, you know, it just boils down to communication. It really does. And if they can't see it, then you just not for me.
I just feel like
you just really not for me, because at the end of the day, like, I can go out here and follow every dream and aspect that I want to do, and if we have a sit down and I actually explain to you what it is it's going to take for me to get to this A, B, and C, and D, and E, whatever else, and you don't understand that because you still selfish on because you ain't got shit going on. And that be a lot of the times, like, you will go, you will be out here with somebody and they don't really have nothing going on, like, you be like, damn, go get some motion about yourself. Go do something, like, that's not, that way if you doing something and I'm doing something, we ain't up under trying to be up under each other's damn armpits all goddamn day, because we both out here working hard to make sure our family, if we trying to build a family, a foundation in that sense, for it to be great, like, you know what I mean? Like, and then you see these people out here that's like millionaires and all these like celebrity relationships, and they both on the same wavelength, whether they actors or singers or rappers or whatever, but they both working hard, like, you know what I mean? Like, and when you don't have somebody that works as hard as you, then that's when the scale kind of tips to the left, and it's like, okay.
Do you feel like we don't be, they feel like we may not be including them in our dreams?
Nah, it ain't even that. You can include them. Like, you can tell them everything. Like, look, I want you to come to the studio with me. I want you to do this and this and that and this. And they be like, nah, I'm cool. Go on, do your thing. Boo, da 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 da. But then when you go do your thing, then they like, you be there too long. And, you know, I've been sitting here all day with the kids. And you know what I'm saying? And it's like, well, damn, I included you in this shit. You didn't want to do it. Now you complaining. So what is it? Like, what do you want me to do? Because I'm trying to make sure that you happy and feeling comfortable with what I'm doing and all of this stuff. But then you still trying to, like, find some negative thing. That's why I feel like a lot of the times when we get in these relationships, like you said, you have got, well, I think it was you, you have got to kind of, like you said, do your research with people, people's backgrounds and the way they was raised.
Yeah,
and
family structure.
Yeah, like, because a lot of the times, like, you get with somebody, you be thinking like, oh yeah, everything, see, y'all little honeymoon shit be cool. Like, y'all fucking, y'all kicking it, y'all buying each other shit, y'all going out having a good time, y'all spending this, spending that, you know, all that's honeymoon shit to me. But when it get down to the real nitty gritty of, like, what I want to do with my life, then it's an issue.
I'm not stunting my growth. That's a person that's trying to stunt your growth.
Yeah.
If your partner ain't putting seeds in you to help you flourish, then no, I'm not. You're not finna stunt my growth, especially if I'm putting them into you, and you just, after so long, you're going to start to see that dead plant you kept watering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, y'all, you know, so, you good?
Yeah. I mean, you can't make nobody want nothing, so, you know, can't make nobody want to, and if it ain't for you or whatever, like I said, you know, you got something personal you want to do, just do it. Like, you know, your partner, they may not really like or agree with what you're doing, but if it pan out to what you wanted to pan out to, they will definitely respect your hustle at the end.
Let me say this to y'all. Now, we can move on from this, because this is a real touchy subject for me. Mm-hmm. Let's say y'all be with somebody for... When you get with somebody, sometimes you don't know where your life is going to lead you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. And then you finally get to a brink where it's like, I figured it out, what I want to do. And it's been 6 years y'all been in this relationship, and you finally figure out what you want to do. And then when you figure it out, they don't get it. You know? But the whole time you've been rocking with me. And I could have had like 7 different fucking careers. Like, I want to be a carpenter one day. I want to be a damn wood shop the next day. I want to be a fucking salesman the third day. Like, and you just going through all these things. Because I went through this. Like, I really did not. I knew what I wanted to do, because I always knew I was real creative. But I had to figure out what that creative space was for me in order to, like, flourish in it and, like, you know, just, like, just go forth with the shit. Like, whatever that was, like, and then once I finally figured it out, years then passed, and we was just kicking it. We was fucking kicking it and all this other shit, got married, all this other shit. And now I finally figured out what I want to do, and it's just, like, you taking it as a joke. And I don't even know if I could say that's the right word to say it, but I felt like you wasn't serious about when I finally figured out myself. And then you got to look at it from an aspect. This is somebody that's way older than me. 20 years, damn near 20 years older than me. You know what I'm saying? And they didn't live their life. They didn't, you know what I'm saying? They didn't pretty much accept it, what it is that they didn't been through. And they just like, stuff in their life. Yeah. So, like, I just feel like people, when they get in these relationships, they get in them, but they don't go hard in them.
You grow. It was your growth.
You like, damn, you love me for 6 whole years, and then I finally figured out what I want to do.
Because you started to grow.
Now it's like, here come all hell. Like I said, you could be with somebody for 5 years. And then you'd be like, oh, I know exactly what I want to do and how to progress and make more money and all these things. And then you go into it, and then they just like, here come a bunch of bullshit with their attitude. And it's like, well, damn. Like, the whole time that I was doing all this shit and just kicking it with you, was everything was cool. We was up under each other's armpits. But now I can't be up under your armpits no more because I got shit to do. You know? And I don't know. It's just people just...
You outgrew a phase they were stuck in.
Yeah.
That's how it looked. Like I said, growth. Like, it was growth.
People bro. Crazy.
And you just refuse to get your growth started.
Yeah, so y'all definitely, y'all definitely want different things then. So.
Y'all just outgrew what y'all thought was supposed to be. Like you said, like, the careers, it wasn't even so much about the career at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was more so, like, you got to look at it from a standpoint of self-happiness.
Peace. And that's what I did. I started looking at all of that.
Because everything starts and begins and ends with self. Like, period. And like I always tell you, because we got to get off of this, self is the most important thing in life because everything ends, mm-hmm. begins and ends with self. If you're not happy within yourself, you're not going to find happiness. Nothing in the world. Because it's got to be something that you got to find within yourself to make you happy to even enjoy that feeling of what you're trying to get the enjoyment mm-hmm. from.
But I agree with that.
Self, man. And if self-care is necessary. And that's what a lot of us don't do in relationships. We tend to, you like you said, you got him spoiled to where he was accustomed to that
And I'm glad you said it, because that's exactly what it is. You spoil a motherfucker to the point where they just...
They get accustomed to it.
Yeah,
that's what it is. The accommodations of both of y'all accommodate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Stops because at that point, like I said, when you spoiled them, it was like they so used to you doing everything. And then it's like now, it's like, okay, shit, I'm doing my part. Like, you got to start.
Right.
But they so spoiled and so used to it, they accustomed to it. It's like...
Right.
But like you said, the understanding, so... But yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, y'all, let's go on to the next. Y'all, I mean, y'all understand? These niggas don't pay us enough to care, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, and I just... you feel me, Christina? They don't pay us enough to fucking
care.
For real. Okay, y'all. So, look, we're going to go into this next one. Number 6 say, would you delete your... What did it say? Who put that on there? Would you delete your friends...
Your friends.
No, I said, would you date your friend's ex? Or like, you know, I mean, would you date your friend's ex, or would you date the person that they're currently dating? Like, you know, like, like, would you betray them like that?
Just one word for that answer. No.
No, you sure? Even if they was cute.
Okay, so look, you know me. You know I'm going to be on my bullshit.
Even if they was cute, even if they was going to never find out.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to say something to this.
After you, I'm going
to
say what I need.
Okay, so look, peep this. Let's just say they dated, but they never had sex. They never kissed. They just were dating, talking, probably going out, whatever, whatever. But they never did anything. And you move away to another city. You gone. You just gone, like. And then you and the ex is still in the same city. And they just happen to cross paths, like, in some fucked up ass way. Because, you know, shit be just fucked up how shit happens. Like,
yeah.
They can be out in the grocery store. They can be at the bar. And they just, like, they just start talking. Shit just start getting... The vibe be there. You be like, oh, okay, you a good mom. But you fuck with my ex, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, with that, and I'm saying this to all of y'all, would it be okay if, let's just say, like I said, you done gone on, moved in a whole nother city, you live in a whole different life, you don't give a fuck what's going on in your hometown, this, that, and the third. But, you find out that your ex is talking to somebody that you used to fuck with, like, is it okay then? No. Because it's never okay?
It's not okay because, it's gonna create an awkward situation no matter what. It's not enough time that could even pass to where all of y'all could even be in the same room without some type of... Y'all could probably be cordial, but it's still going to be some tension in that room. Whether people speak on it or act on it or not, to me, it just create... You know, it's just something that I've actually experienced, not me personally, but, you know, been a part of. And it creates a lot of... Because when you do that, you kind of mess your circle up, too. Because what happens is you got one part of the circle that like, oh, they grown. Then you got another part of the circle, they like, I'm team, no. And then another part of the circle, I'm team, well, you know, it's cool.
Because, you know, I was saying that because, like, some people be like, yeah, but they didn't do nothing. But, you know, I don't see anything wrong with it. You have people that don't see anything wrong with it. But then you got the people that see shit wrong with it. So that's why I'm just like... Even in all of that shit, like, cause me, and this is just me. I'm speaking on me, cause I have this I don't give a fuck attitude with any type of shit that's going on. But if my ex is fucking with my ex, I probably wouldn't even give a fuck.
Oh, if your ex is messing. That's with what your
this
ex.
Is. Like, it's about like.
Oh, no, he said. If he was saying, like, if your ex was messing with your friend, like, that's what he's saying. Like,
my ex was messing with my friend.
Basically, like, say.
So I got it wrong. Okay.
Basically, like, boom.
Because if it's your ex, listen, you know, I'm hetero.
That's what I'm saying. I'm piggybacking. Me being hetero, I'm piggybacking off of her. Because, basically, like, say, you and your best friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all cool. Me and you was dealing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we never did nothing. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I'm going to get both ends.
Go ahead.
And we never did nothing. I wind up moving. Or no, you wind up moving. And now, me and your friend done crossed paths.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you like you said, you done really went on. You got somebody you probably dealing with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you and your friend is still ace boom coon. So she wind up calling you, or y'all wind up calling each other, or FaceTime, or however you want to paint the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And you might hear my voice. You'd be like, what's that? That's Wavy over there?
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be like, yeah. And you're going to be like, what are you doing over there? Like, what? Like,
no, you ain't going to. If you
even
ain't.
Listen, like, even if you don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's always going to be some weird feeling now because it's like, why would you even deal with something? Regardless if I did something with them or not, they was attracted to me at some point. So even when I come around, even if we may not have done it, they probably still got that thought in their mind that they wanted to. So they still going to try to act on that thought and thinking like they can still try to intertwine and get back to me, because sometimes like people do that, mess with friends to get back with the person that they want to get back with.
I agree to that.
What Christina said, like that's what y'all was saying, like about a time frame, right? Like if the time frame, me like if the like is it like you said, like it's you going off a time frame too, right? You going off a time frame too, right? Like when you said what you said about moving to a different city, like so
yeah.
Years, okay. But like Christina said, it's still gonna be awkward when y'all three around.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still gonna be some type of feelings that it's gonna be connected to one motherfucker, which is the ex. Because regardless of the fact, they gonna always still feel like where we used to talk to each other, like we was gonna
kick it.
Or the person, like, right there, your friend might get a little jealous because all the shit you used to tell them about the ex. Mm-hmm. But like Christina said, with me, I agree with her because I'm not finna even deal with you knowing that you had some type of intentions to be with my homie.
Your homie, okay.
Like, you feel me? Like,
so it's,
and then like,
it's,
hold on. Like, a lot of people got this standard, like, especially with heterosexuals, like, with me, like, and, like.
It just create, it create awkward air. Wait, because even if you never, it's like this. Say the other person just like, I don't even care. We ain't never mess around anyway, like, and they say like, well, that's my friend, and my friend messing with my friend. You feel what I'm saying? That's different because I might have brought you around just as my friend. Like, nah, that's my homeboy. We cool. That's like my big brother. Like, you telling your friend is for a reason because, girl, if you like him, you know what I'm saying? Usually with girls, we usually give each other the yay or the nay on that. Like, we going to let you know because, girls, we talk. So we're going to let you know, like, we talking. You could, if your friend like that man, You shouldn't even want him. Because that's somebody she's into. Whether work out with them, whether they have sex or not, you know that's somebody she's into. So why would you take her, basically take her doll baby and carry it around right in front of her face? Rather, you know. So you, to me, it just create awkward energy. And then even if the one person was cool with it, the person that was betrayed is just like, all right, I'm cool with it. But then now, the other girl that he's with is going to feel some type of way about him being around you because y'all once used to talk. It creates a lot of insecurity and, like I said, a lot of awkwardness, and it break the whole circle up so bad. Like,
go ahead. Say what you got to say. I feel what you're saying
about that, because that's what I was saying with that awkwardness, like you said, because it's always going to be like, damn, I used to mess with or I found interest in this person, but this is my nigga. Like, but what I was trying to say is, like, that's when, like, the realness of a person, like you said, you got to let your people know, like, from jump, like, what it is so you can set a boundary, you know what I'm saying? Because me and my guys, we, like we said, like, we believe, like, we don't mess with nothing that really we touched. Mm-hmm. Flat out, we don't care what it is. We don't care if it was 13, 15 years ago. Nah, you touched her, you went up in her, so nah, I ain't got no use for you, baby. Like,
yeah, heteros, then, we feel different then, about then, that.
Hold on, okay,
wait, hold on. And then, like, with that, me and my niggas, we ain't all the same. So, I really judge women based off of who they let screw them to, because women do that with men. Like, so, maybe, if 9 times out of 10, certain of my guys, if you let them touch you, I wouldn't dare talk to you just off that fact, you let this nigga touch you. And I know what the type of shit he be on. But I never expose because it's my homie. But I know that. You get what I'm saying? So that's why we never, that was my, and then baby mama's like, we never crossed them paths. Like, you got a kid by a woman, like, I don't care what it is, nigga. I don't care how horny you get, nigga. You never tried my baby mama, especially if you saying we
but close, I. But so. See, this is the thing. And I don't mean to cut you off, but this is the thing. I agree with everything you saying. But I ain't even talking about the aspect of them, like, fucking or anything like that.
No, I ain't saying fuck. I'm just saying, in general.
Let's peep this. Let's say, for instance, me and Ian. Like, for instance, I talked to somebody. The shit didn't go as planned like I wanted. And then years down the line, I found out that Ian and this person that I used to talk to, they talking. And it's just like, well, damn, that's somebody I used to talk to. But by me, and it's not even a I don't give a fuck. It's just, I don't know. I just think some things comes with, like, maturity when you just to the point in your life and it's just like, you know what? It may have not been for me, but maybe it may be for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that may be your soulmate. Because sometimes you could be talking to somebody that's not for you, but it may be the person that's next to you that it may be their soulmate. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I get the whole dynamic of, like, you know, that it's kind of breaking codes and shit like that, because that's what y'all are talking about. But I feel like, at the end of the day, you can't stop nobody from doing what they doing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it ain't even a code. It's just more so a self-respect. Like,
it's respect and code. Like,
it ain't even a code. It's just a standard. Like, why would I want to be second to anybody.
But like, this is the thing.
I'm just saying, why would I want to come second to anybody?
But you're not even second. No,
you really is, because guess what? She started talking to him, me first. Why would I want to come behind that? Like,
you're not coming behind it. That's the part I'm talking about. You're not even, let's just say, okay.
Because it's more so is that because so it's like, this. No, even this if you, is, no, this I'm what just I'm saying. Like, even if no sex or nothing is involved, like, I just still don't want to ever feel like, regardless of the fact, like, that's somebody that my nigga can still have one up on me. Like, you feel me? Like, oh, I used to deal with regardless of what you saying. Like, I don't care if y'all ain't never did. It's just the fact that I know that y'all had some type of chemistry don't mean that chemistry still ain't there. Period.
Okay.
So I'm going to look at that as disrespect, like, because I'm going to feel like y'all low-key already had, you already, as you being my homie, like, why is you even trying to, you got to find.
Now on that aspect.
You looking at it like you was looking at her already. Like, for you to just even off the aspect that just chemistry ain't just, like, sometimes I just feel like, nah, like, you had an agenda, like, because why would you even want to go that route, like.
Well, if I meet two guys, you know, and I done met two guys at the same time before. And, like, usually that's when I make my decision who I'm going to talk to. I just let, like, right off the top. I'm talking about cousins.
They friends.
But I ain't finna, right off that's the what top. I'm saying. I ain't finna approach you.
I'm not going to flirt with this one and kick it with that one and go out and kick it with him and hang out with this one. I just go ahead and make my decision right up front. Right up there, right up front.
Right.
We all cool. But this is who I'm trying to
talk to. Approach you. Like, once my nigga approached you, I'm not finna do it.
Right.
That's just me. Like, if he want to.
So how you feel, Ian, about it? Like, because this is seem like your topic.
I mean, y'all hit all the points from the straight side and I think from the gay side too. I just have to put that out there because that actually had happened to me one time, like how you guys said that or whatever. I mean, it didn't turn into anything and stuff, but I felt like we handled it in an adult way or whatever, like, because that can be like a kind of a seedy situation when you get that kind of overlapping type of thing. Like, okay, we were together and now y'all are together, but we're still friends. And then it's like when the three of us are together, then you know, that might be feeling weird or awkward or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
you know what is so crazy? Because when you watch the movie Best Man, they did that shit in there.
Yeah, he was messing with.
He end up fucking with his best friend's girl, but he end up marrying her. But then they was still like, I still like at some point in it all the spectrum, you know.
And that's why
regardless of how fucked up it may seem.
But did you point out what happened? You didn't point out what happened.
What?
Before the marriage, what happened?
They fucked around. I said that.
That's why.
But in the end of it all, they still end up being cool. Like, it was like, okay, yeah, I know I fuck with her, but you married her. But at the same time, it's like,
what was occurring? Even in Best Man Holiday, what occurred? It was still what between
the two?
It was still awkward.
Because he went on and married. What it was is, it wasn't that she was messing with both of them. It's just she had a one-night stand with the other one. She was always with her husband, the one she married. She just kind of, like, she stepped out on him with old boy.
And wasn't supposed to.
And
that was his homie, but
it made it awkward all the way up. They couldn't get it together till that girl died.
But he wanted
her. You know, that's when they actually got it together.
He caught feelings for her. That's what created the awkward space.
No, that wasn't what it was. The awkward space was they was all really tight.
No, I'm saying, like, but when they now aboard now, he had to learn how to not have feelings for her, because remember she said something in the kitchen to Sanaa Lathan when she is pregnant about.
You talking about the other scenario?
No, this one.
He talking about when Nia Long
that's what
and Taye Diggs
right,
scenario,
listen,
but we talking about Taye Diggs.
If you would
I'm talking about Taye Diggs.
If you would listen, it's the same. That's what I'm saying. If you watch Best Man Holiday, it was still an awkward thing, even in the kitchen when she was talking about his book, because, in a sense, they still had some type of chemistry, even off that one-night stand. They still always had some type of little flirtatious thing going on between them.
Yeah, they did. They still had, like, a love.
Even though he was married to Sanaa Lathan, and she accepted it.
No, I ain't talking about Sanaa Lathan. I'm talking about the other girl.
I know you talking about.
I'm talking about Morris Chestnut wife.
Right. That's what I'm saying. In the kitchen scene, when they all was in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And remember when Sanaa Lathan, she was came in there and she was like, well, what book is
I remember. Okay.
And remember, even though Sanaa Lathan was cool with it, she really, it was awkward because she know that you dealt with what she got.
Okay. Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah,
they your husband and my husband are best friends. And like you said, she built on the loyalty is like...
Nah, no, you know. Looking at it because you still is missing that point. Because remember, Nia Long, her husband was not in a circle.
No, we're not and talking about
Lathan. No, I ain't talking about
that. Listen, you got to pay attention. We're not talking about... No, I'm saying, like, that's what I'm telling you. You got to pay attention because what I'm saying is Nia Long wasn't in the kitchen. What I'm saying is Spencer, which is Morris Chestnut, that's his name, mm-hmm. Spencer, the football player. Mm-hmm. Tay Diggs, his wife, which was sick, that had the cancer, mm-hmm. is the one that Tay Diggs had. The
Morris Chestnut wife had the cancer. You said Tay Diggs.
But that's Tay Diggs at the time. That's what I'm saying. At the time, Tay Diggs, that's the one that he had the one night stand with. That's what I'm trying to get her to see. Like, I'm not talking about Neil. I'm talking about the same girl you talk about, which is Tay Diggs. Morris Chestnut wife that had the cancer. But it always created an awkward space between him and Morris Chestnut. Even though they accepted what happened, he still continued to marry her. Even though he had a wife, when he was around, Morris Chestnut still felt the way. That's why he was still holding some type of grudge. And he really, really took flight on him when he found out that he wrote a book about him. Because he felt like that's what made him get close back to his wife. So why is you around my wife now? So it went back to that. Even though they accepted it, he still felt the way. Like, nigga, I still don't want you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what she was saying about the awkward. That's what I was saying. Like, damn, that's what she mean by that awkward shit. Because they let it go, but it still created an awkward space.
Regardless. To the end.
Regardless. They was married and all. She did. It had to take her to die for him to really let it go.
Yeah.
For him to feel like, well, we both lost her.
I get it.
Like, but you gotta stand firm, like you said, like, nah, because I ain't trying to be in the middle of this shit.
Okay, so, I get what y'all saying. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? I'm gonna go around the room and I want everybody to explain what makes them an introvert and an extrovert. First, so,
what is the introvert and extrovert?
An introvert is somebody that stays to they self. They're more self-absorbed. They're more antisocial. People look at it like that. An extrovert is somebody that's more outgoing. They like to talk to people. They like to be out in the public eye. They like attention. But an extrovert is more so like they're more guarded. But they like to talk to people and shit. But you will look at them more of as an antisocial type of person. But they may not even be that. But they just more of the they stay to themselves.
Starting with you.
Okay, so starting with me. I consider myself an extrovert because I like people. I like people. I like being around people. I like talking to people. I like listening to people's shit. That's another reason why I started this podcast, because it was just like, I like hearing everybody's opinion on shit. Like, I like to see, because it helps me grow as an individual. Like, it's not just for... Well, yes, yeah, it's for my personal growth, but at the same time, like, I like listening to what a person may think about this or think about that or say about this, like, and I can talk for hours. Like, that's another thing. I can run my motherfucking mouth for hours, but now I done learned how to, like, just chill the fuck out and shut the fuck up sometimes, because I can talk to the point where it's like, okay, nigga, you done talk for 2 hours straight, like, but... So, me being an extrovert on that level, but my introvert side is now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to learn how to just love myself and be more with myself. Like, I don't need all that. Because it takes a lot of energy out of you when you, this uppity purse, upgoing beat person, and everybody flock to you for this, that, and the third. It takes a lot of energy out of you. Because then you got to pick all these, you got to bring all these energies into you and understand everybody's energy. And it's just like, okay, now look, let me just kind of step back and focus on me and what I want to do and how I feel about shit and kind of get to know yourself better to be more kind of, now I feel like I'm more introvert now than I used to be. But I'm still that person that I can enter any room and say hi to everybody. I'm not about to judge you. I don't give a fuck what you did. I'm just going to respect everybody in the room and just like, what's up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though people might be looking like, okay, this motherfucker don't even know me. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just that type of person. I just respect everybody. You know what I mean? Because I feel like at the end of the day, we all human. So, yeah. So,
I learned how to be both, really. So, I'm just saying I'm both because, like me, I gravitate towards the energy. I read rooms, so if my my energy, my frequencies are already set, that's what makes me both. Because I know how to be antisocial when needed. I know when to just shut up sometimes and pay attention, because when you do less talking, your ears open up. So now you're able to hear everything you need to hear, and you will see it more versus trying to be the extrovert and be the people person. Because sometimes you being a piece of people person, like you said, you gravitate the wrong energies.
Yeah, you will pick up a lot of shit.
Now you gotta learn how to shift them energies.
Yeah.
You gotta learn, especially me now that I'm older, my energy's set. So with that being said, I'm not finna gravitate towards no bullshit that's not aligning with me, period. So that's why I'm both, because I learned how to become an energy reader by paying attention to people's posture, demeanor, expressions, and their tone and their delivery of what they talking about. Because that's just...
And that's the part where I say, me being by that extrovert thing, that's the part where I had to like pay attention to so much of that shit. So now it's like, I'm cool.
Because you'll give too much of yourself out there that people will look at it like some different shit and want to try you. Like, you get what I'm saying? I know, like, nigga, I'm this, but I'm really this. So it's like,
just depends on, like, the environment. Like, if I'm, like, at work, I might be a little more introverted. It might be only certain people I might commune with or talk to. But if I'm in a setting where I know everybody, then I might be, like, an extrovert. It just, like you said, you got to read the room. Like, and know you need to stay to yourself. Or are you safe? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I consider myself probably more of an introvert, being a only child most of my life growing up, for real. So I really learned how to like be by myself and just really just be comfortable with just being in my own space or whatever. I mean, of course, you know, y'all all my friends, y'all know that, of course, I'm happy, I'm outgoing, I don't have any problems with meeting new people or whatever, but to my core, when I get into my own, you know, when I get into my own, it's just like me and myself, really, for real.
I can dig that.
That's loud, though, because I used to want to be an only child till I start thinking about it, but an only child do make you an introvert, but you get to know yourself more, like, when you're the only child, because you get to figure out so much, like, of who you are, because you ain't got to deal with, like, your brother, they're like, because all y'all kind of, like, feed off each other, like, all get fun, like, you got a sibling, like, y'all all take grasp of something that one of y'all got, like, y'all gonna take out the something, but when you, the only child, it's like, it's just me, and that's right. What set it, and people that, me, just speaking to me, like, them only childs, people feel like they be problems and they be the spoiled brats. Like, nah, they don't be the spoiled brats. None of the motherfuckers, they really know what the fuck they want. Like,
right. You
can't entice an only child that want nothing but what they want, because this is what makes them feel good, because that's all they had was self. And it ain't, people look at it as being selfish or, like, cocky with them. Like, nah, they so used to just being alone.
You just learn to adapt. You just learn to adapt.
They
learn to adapt to your surroundings.
They adapt to you, but you gotta let them adapt naturally, because forcing it on them will make them be like, nah.
Yeah, when they kids, they are a little bit bratty. As kids, not really, like, it don't affect a lot of them as adults, but as kids, like, you can tell an only child when they're around a bunch of kids. You can always tell, yeah, because they looking like, wait in line, hold on, what you mean, like, your turn, like, right. All of that right. stuff,
they structure
it four
like, lane. They structure yeah. it like ours, like,
you know, only child, you remember back in the day, you could tell who was the only child, because they'd mm-hmm. sit right in front of the TV, right in front of everybody, block the whole, you like, yeah, what, like, if you don't move, your
or just watching, or just watching what they want to watch at that time. Like yeah. you're like, nah, we all wanna.
Yeah,
like you outvoted. Like
they looking like, what you mean? Like so, yeah.
Right. Like, you don't take your little spoiled ass home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But right. as adults, they actually are very much self-sufficient. You know, even as kids, they don't need a lot of. They don't need friends. It don't bother them. Like them be the kids, like.
Yeah.
You got some friends at school, I guess.
Yeah.
What's the people name of your class? I forgot.
They friends and family for real. They cousins for real. Yeah. That be the friends.
That's how you be yeah. in. That's yeah. how you be yeah. in all the time.
Friends be the cousins and yeah. they cousins, friends. And
my friends were my family, yeah. I'm about to say, like, my cousins, really for real. Like, that was like my friends for real.
Okay.
And then really have like a whole bunch of friends per se.
Yeah, because when you got brothers and sisters,
it's a competition.
The
all
shit be
day.
Going digital, like
all day. I'm sitting in the front. I won't Damn, know. I'm what? First.
The shit be going digital.
I want the ball. I want the
man,
spoon.
What? Motherfuckers be getting pushed out the table and everything. Like, got these fucked up. Like,
the more I guess we'll reach the rumble over the ball.
Man, what?
Like, I ain't want the spoon because it's like, no homo, you lick the spoon a couple times, like, it's over with. Ain't no more cake mix on the bowl. You can keep, you can gritty with yeah. that bowl.
Yeah.
What?
When you, yeah, when yeah, you got brothers and sisters,
first.
You got, yeah. When they you by yourself, you can get that bowl all you want. Mm.
The only child, you get the
must be
spoon.
Nice.
They right. call you down, like, here the bowl, right?
When you be right there just waiting, like, when you got brothers and sisters, like, y'all right there, yeah. like, why you making up yet?
Yeah.
Or you already kind of like, I got the bowl, I'm going to make the cake. But, mm-hmm. but that's the thrill of having siblings sometimes, like, when you really think about it, when you start talking like that. But I used to be one to be the only child, because I felt like if I was the only child, like, nigga, the shit I was getting now would be triple double.
Man. Okay, y'all. So, okay. Let's see. Okay, so this is one of my topics, and I don't want to say no names, but I hope y'all can understand where I'm coming from with this, because it's some celebrities that went through this shit. So, a blogger was talking bad about female rappers and females in the industry. And the gay guy decides to stand up for his female friend, which is a female rapper. And the context of after all of the beef and shit, the gay guy stood up for his straight hetero friend. And he went after the guy like, you a bitch ass nigga, like for sitting up speaking, for sitting there downplaying a black woman at that. Because, you know, we already, as black people, already got three strikes against us on a lot of shit.
Mm.
So he went off, made a diss record, all his things or whatever, whatever. The gay guy really went in on his ass. So what I put on here is what people were saying is, why are gay men more protective over hetero women than the straight man should be?
Because we're targeted. Because we're targeted. So we're always the ones, we're always the ones that people want to objectify. I mean, so I kind of feel like when we see that happening to other people, then we're already like on protective mode. Like, I'm already used to being bullied, so when I see somebody else being bullied, I don't like the way that looks. You know what I'm saying?
This is my thing. Let me say what I got to say to this. Because to me, I respect women I have a very high respect for women. Because I was raised by so many women. And when I see men, hetero men, mm-hmm. bullying, talking crazy to them, my defense mechanism goes up completely, because it's like, and this is what my mother always said, if that woman ain't spitting on you or hitting you, you shouldn't even be like stunting that shit. Like, I think it's corny, because it's like, to me, and I ain't trying to, like, you know, mm-hmm. disgrade a woman or whatever, mm-hmm. but to me, y'all are very fragile. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all are like flowers to me. Yeah. So, listen, this is what I'm saying. Y'all are very fragile to me. So, when you have this dominant male, like, being so aggressive and so, like, at you, and it's like, dude, like, why are you doing all that to something that's not even, like, she not... I just feel like when you picking on it, and it ain't even got to be a black woman. It can be just women in general. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I just think, to me, like, I get real defensive when I see hetero males, like, cursing or going after their girl or this, that, or even just a woman in the public eye, and you just like, damn, dude, you going out hard on her like that? Like, she can't even beat you for real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I think it's corny. Like, so I'm just like, I feel like with gay guys, by us being more protective, is because we looking at it by the fact that we get what a woman is. And it's crazy to say this, but I feel like gay guys get women more than hetero guys.
I was about to say.
So, hold on. So I feel like gay guys get more, understand women more so, because like you said on the last one, we have feminine energy. So we can pick up on that soft spot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and a lot of heteros don't really grasp to the hard spot because they're so, like, dominant. And it's not like saying, like, gay guys are not dominant, but I just feel like that with something that fragile, I just feel like, what are you getting out of that? Because it's like, at the end of the day, like, she's never going to win.
Well, so, I say it all that to say this. I mean, I give y'all respect, but I ain't never going to make y'all feel like y'all superior over heterosexuals, or making it seem like heterosexuals don't protect black women. Yeah, y'all more in, like, as far as protection goes, it goes both ways. You just got some men that just bitch niggas. So,
okay.
That, with that being said, I'm going to put them over there with y'all anyway. Because, nigga, that's what you acting like. Because most gay men don't even like that anyway. Like, nigga, you acting like a bitch. Like, nigga, I'm gay. Why is you, like, so that's... That right there, like, that's just the instinct anyway. And then secondly, it's like,
but
you say, hold on, wait.
Past,
hold on, wait,
well, you not gay, but well, you saying, like, they.
Nah, hell nah.
Like, yeah, nah, I'm just
but
saying.
But I'm saying, like, most gay men, they look at us heterosexual men when we do be like that towards women. They gonna look at y'all as bitch niggas because that's, like, a female trait to even want to go back and forth and argue with a woman. That's something my mama told me. Men don't do that. We don't go back and forth with a woman. Mm-hmm. That's being a sucker. Like, you hear what I'm saying? So me as a man, that's why I always say, I'm always stay in a man's place. My place is not to go back and forth with you as a woman. I got women in my family you can talk to, but they ain't finna do no talking with you. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
But me as a man, I ain't even finna go there with you, or how you feeling like you can do that. And I, like, that was something, like, as men, we, even when we were younger, we have to learn that, because a lot of it comes with self-control too. Like, you get what I'm saying? And then, like, me personally, I'm like that. Like, that's just an instinct. And, like, I don't give a damn what race you are, because I'm gonna protect women, because women are supposed to be protected, because they're the most delicate thing on this earth. That's the most selfish thing ever, is a woman. Supposedly, we got some women out here that can really knock some of you niggas out, because I done seen, like, a couple of them put y'all straight on y'all back, like, and some of them can, like, some of you men can really fight, and was really out there trying to fight this woman. She put y'all on y'all back, like, but
I like the way you put that.
As a woman, gay men can relate more, like you said, because they more feminine with the shit, so that's why they protective instincts is more on go, because it's like they feel, in a sense, like they a woman, in a sense they feel that woman, but not knowing, like, heterosexual males, because I'm one of them.
It's not that. I'm gonna let you say what you gotta say. But it ain't that we feel like we a woman, we just have feminine tendencies.
That's why, like, I'm saying, that's the same thing as a woman, the relatable energy as a woman. That's why y'all a blow up like that. And then when y'all do blow up and protect women, majority of the time, the heterosexual side don't even come out. It still be the woman in you, because you related to the woman. So y'all defense be like, y'all, wait, the argument that I'm saying, like,
I'm listening.
With, like, y'all protection ain't gonna be the
Okay.
Now, don't get what I'm saying wrong, because I know some gay men that can thump, that'll put you boys on y'all backs. You get what I'm saying? I'd have been seen it. You get what I'm saying? Like, so I'm not never down because y'all still men. So I'm going to still respect y'all as men. Gay or not, y'all still a man first and foremost. So that's still going to always be a natural instinct to protect the woman. So quit trying to divide this like gay men protect the heterosexual woman more.
That's what the conversation was.
Because it's an instinct in men, period. Most men.
I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. It's the primal instinct.
It's an instinct as you being a man first and foremost, regardless if you got feminine energy, because I'm a man. But when it comes to my girl, I know how to get feminine towards my girl because I sit down and paint my girl toenails if needed, clip them and rub her back and you know what I mean, and wash her hair and grease her scalp. I would do that because I was raised by a woman. But a woman also taught me as a man, this is the way to pamper your woman. So you got to tap into your feminine in the inside because if you always want to let that masculine energy come off, you're going to always run a woman away and she's not going to want to deal with you. So at sometimes a man has to have a soft exterior to even be able to understand a woman, to that instinct to kick in to protect her. You get what I'm saying? Because protection comes with understanding a woman, because when you protect a woman, you understand that first and foremost she's delicate. She's supposed to get protected.
Right. I feel like what you're saying.
So that's why I said we ain't going to keep making it seem like he did something that I wouldn't have did. You get what I'm saying?
No, I know. And wait. Before you go into all of that, what it was when I was looking on the internet, that's what the conversation was with people saying, like, why are gay men so more defensive? And I was just like, well, that's a conversation that needs to be had, because a lot of the times people don't understand that we're still men.
And that's what I don't play that shit when it comes to women.
It's like, bro, pump your brakes. Because for real, it ain't. She can't beat you. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
RP to this guy named LaVille, man. When I say this is one of the main reasons why I have never been homophobic, like, period, because me being younger, I was around, like, seeing it. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing new under the sun. But it was this guy named LaVille, and he's my nephew's great uncle, but he's deceased now. But I, like, even with him, all the straight men love LaVille. You get what I'm saying? Because a lot of us still respect him first and foremost as a man and a human being. But then secondly, he always projected that love and protection for us. So it was like a natural instinct to protect him. So anytime, like, it could be a person that ain't from the hood that'll come in there and get the talking crap, like, this motherfucker fag. And, like, he might get punched by one of us.
Right.
Thinking, like, we gonna agree with what he's saying to LaVille. Like, nah, nigga, you tripping, man. We love LaVille, nigga. Get up out of here.
But, like, yeah, I just wanted people to, like, really see, like, it ain't just, like, because...
It's just being people, a man.
We really just men at the end of the day, like, whether we gay or straight. And I feel like sometimes people put that stigma on heteros, saying, like, oh, they don't really, they just be on bullshit. But it ain't even that. It's just, like, men gonna be men, and men gonna protect women if you a real man, period. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Whether you gay or straight, like... So I just felt like that was something that need to be had and shit.
And let me just say, not a man, nigga, a king, period. Like, even as it, like, I'm never going to dethrone a man because he gay. Nah, a king is always a king, period. A king is a king, period. And as a black man, you're going to always be a king in my eyes. I don't give a fuck what you is.
I can say that.
You're going to be a king. Just like a black woman is always meant to be a queen. Like, I don't give a fuck what you is. Like, in my eyes, you're going to be a queen. Like, period. Like,
Me and Ian, we run into a lot of situations when we out together where we have
to protect each other.
We have to protect each other. It's not happening. Like, every time we go out, we have to wind up, one of them got to protect the other. I'm very protective over him because sometimes I have straight men. Because when me and Ian go out, we vibe. So they probably be trying to figure out, do she know his status? Do she, you know, like, because we be vibing. And it's always something, like, it'll be like a straight man that'll get jealous. Don't even know us. And what he'll do is, he won't pick a fight with him. he'll pick a fight with me because they
gonna tell you gonna tell
no, because mm-hmm. what they trying to do right. is make him react to it. Because they call themselves trying to tell me what he is when I already know that. It happens like all the time. I don't care if we in a club, we done been walking to breakfast and this thing happened 8 o'clock in the morning and this thing happened.
I know. Because yeah. guess what? When me and him go out, I'm like that with him. I'm like very protective of my brother.
And when that happens, he have to hold me back.
And look, like,
he has to hold
me. That's what I'm saying. He like that. Like, I'm very protective. Period. Like, even like if we all going out, like, I'm just going to be protective of everybody. But it's been times where me and him would go out. And I'm very protective over him. Like, nigga, I know my brother. Like, gay, so what? Why is this bothering you anyway?
That's where, and that be my point. I find myself having that.
I'm not even finna explain to y'all. At first and foremost, I'm not even finna explain to y'all. Period. Why I'm even with my brother. Why we here in this corner drinking, we smoking, we vibe, we kicking, whatever. Secondly, I'm not even finna even go there about me finna explain my sexuality, nigga, because I'm coming through the door already with the energy to let you know. And mm-hmm. I ain't no man that's even letting him bother me because mm-hmm. what his sexuality is don't matter to me because it's still my brother. I don't see that when I'm with him. Because he always was cool with straight men anyway. Mm-hmm. Back in school, like, all of us love Lamar. But I think it's different from back then to now with that because it's like we were always taught to love. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, regardless of what they is, like, these kids nowadays, it was stripped of that, like, the unity of it, like, because, like I said, when we was going to school, we had a transsexual in our classroom, then we, mm-hmm. at the time, he was still, you know, but we ain't pick with him. We ain't allow nobody to pick with him, though. Mm-hmm. But when you comfortable, like, how you is with Ian and, like, how I am with him, it don't bother you, like, it really don't, man, like, and it just be funny that people will allow that to irritate them. Like, why? Like,
I just kind of turn up because I feel like this. If my best friend do got to come up out of his jumpsuit.
You do.
Oh, everybody better hit the flow. Because I done seen him do it before. Like, I done seen where some instances where something has happened. A situation went down. And there was a guy. I didn't even know that was Ian standing behind me. He was like, "What's up, bro?" All I kept hearing was, "What's up, bro? What's up, bro?" He finna knock dude straight out. But I'm not even knowing that's Ian. That's how far about his jumpsuit, his voice. It had went to a whole new low. Like, I was like, "Oh, that's Ian." Like, I was like, yeah, what he said. Like, feel me? Like, yeah, you don't want none of that.
I'm gonna tell you, I done seen
when things up. Need to happen, things need that, to happen.
So I just got on and turned up because if he come up out of his jumpsuit, I don't even know if I'm gonna better get him back in it. Like,
Christina, listen, y'all, like,
trust and believe when it needs to happen, I can make it happen. Trust and believe when it needs to happen, I can make it happen.
I didn't even know that was him, bro.
Tell y'all, Christina, look, right? I'm locked up. I'm in the county, like, fighting this little case or whatever. I'm looking at 13 years, but I always find some type of humor in the most fucked up situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the phone. I tell my people, like, call Lamar. She called him. Like, so we on the phone. He just hear the argument. Like, bro, what's going on? I'm like, bro, it's this gay motherfucker here, right? He like, yeah, like, that's him going off. I'm like, yeah, like, I can tell. I'm like, bro. He just told dude, I'm going to beat your ass, and I'm going to come out the cell switching to let everybody know that you just got beat up by a fag since I'm a fag, bitch-ass nigga, come in the cell with me. So I'm talking about, like, hold on, I'm going to call you right back. So I wound up hanging up on. When I say y'all, dude down there talking big shit at the domino table, I know, like I said, they still men. I'm like, I'm telling bro, like, hey, bro, I'm going to tell you like this. First and foremost, rule of thumb, we don't fight gay men. Mm-hmm. Not saying they no different.
You good? Okay.
Because at the end of the day, they ain't bothering you. So we don't do that. So that means you was fucking with him to get the reaction you finna get out of him. Because right. They don't just fuck with you, bro.
Right.
Secondly, you go up there and get beat up by this gay man. All respect as a man, it's finna go out the door, little nigga.
Right.
So I'm telling you now, chill out. Oh, I ain't scared of this man. He a fag, bro. I beat it. I say, bro, he's still a man. Bro, he a fag, though. I said, bro, he just said he gonna beat your ass and come out the cell switching. Mind you, we done seen this motherfucker gay dude beat up the CEO. Remember, I told you he beat up the CEO, too.
Mm-hmm.
He got work. So the homie finally go upstairs. It's like, it's time for us to go in for lockdown. You know, the tears, boom, boom. He go up one side. So he see the gay dude go up that side. So he gonna try to go up and try to duff the gay dude, like try to snuff him. Like, gay dude dipped to hit that motherfucker with two. Boop, boop. Motherfucker was on the ground like this. Why the motherfucker come tuck his shirt? The gay man tuck his shirt and switched over him. And went back downstairs and turned around.
Okay.
At the CEO's company. When bro woke up, we all like, oh, he beat your ass and he did what he said he was going to do. And when the CEO's letting right there, because the CEO heard the commotion, the CEO mm-hmm. kept telling the little homie to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So the CEO was like, dude, you just got your ass whooped by a gay man. You realize you can't go back in the teapot. Cannot go back in there. He said, we're not finna do that to you, man. He said, that's the most humiliating thing I have ever seen since I've been working out here.
That's crazy. He said,
that man knocked you the fuck out. Like, the CEO told you, like, he knocked you the fuck out. But the dude, the gay dude, it was, they asked him, did he want to press charges because it was a hate crime?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, like, gay men, like, they steal men, man. So, y'all better keep that in mind.
Get their shit together.
Because they'll tighten you up.
Sap.
They will tighten you up. And sap, y'all got to realize they've been fighting their whole life to be accepted. Right. So they face like brick out here, bro. Like, it's hard
on
to
a pull. Daily basis.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they was fighting.
On a daily basis.
And I don't mean to cut you off, but they don't even realize how serious this shit is. Like, because let's just say me and Ian went to the fucking Walmart yesterday. Like, we still got to conduct ourselves somewhat accordingly in the public, like, because we just don't want that shit to go on where a motherfucker whispering and shit like that. We look at that kind of shit, like, because then we on defense at all times. Damn. Like, it's like, let a motherfucker say something in this bitch, and it's going digital, like.
But
the thing is, we be sitting up there, like, real live, like, just doing what we do. And
trying to be regular.
Yeah, just regular shit. Going grocery shopping.
My regular ain't your regular, though.
Y'all coming out y'all hookup, like, y'all coming out y'all jumpsuit.
But we out the hookup all day.
That's because y'all, like, y'all ain't even defensive for real. People draw that out of y'all, like, and that's what be making me defend y'all. Like you said, it ain't even so much as being a bully. It's just like, mm-hmm. bro, like, at some point, like, bro, yeah, I know he gay, like, now when he knock you the fuck out, bro, like, fuck, he ain't even gotta knock you out, bro, because I know what he gonna do to you. I'm finna beat your ass, bro, because you fucking with him, bro. You fucking with him, like.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
And the guy that he had to, like, kind of, like.
They want no smoke.
No, it wasn't even that. You know, excuse my language, but the guy wasn't nothing but a down low jailhouse punk. For real. But
so he's battling his
no,
he
but,
like
no, but Ian didn't know that. That's why me and the man was even having words, because he's a punk. See, there's a difference between like a punk and a fag. This was an old ass jailhouse punk that he think don't nobody know.
You see what I'm saying?
So when Ian, like, I don't know if Ian seen it anymore or what, but he wasn't going. He snapped out real quick.
I just know he had vexed my soul at that point.
Ian said, I'm getting ready to audit you.
Right.
He said, get ready to audit you.
Okay.
Oh, he was like, we want to get audited. Like that's what he was saying.
I'm going to have to use that one, my motherfucker.
What's up,
niggas
bro?
Niggas out here going to get audited.
What's up,
okay.
bro?
Listen, it's a whole goddamn. Boy, they meant work like that.
Lead that. I was like, all right, well, we got this.
Because guess what? My uncle, Mikey, baby, yeah, I'm telling you.
We was finna win that square dance contest.
Okay, y'all, let's move on. We almost there. Okay, y'all, we got one more topic. And then we're going to go to team building. Mm-hmm. So I want everybody to go around the room, because I put this on there. I want y'all to describe the chapter that you're in your life and where you're trying to be. Like, what's, like, by you being the age you are, what chapter are you in, like, as far as, like, being, just you. Like, what chapter are you in your life right now?
I guess I'm still, you know what, and at the age I am, I feel like I'm still fighting to be present and to be heard and to be respected in society for real. Mm-hmm. as a gay black man, as a SDNA, as, you know what I'm saying, as a person. So I kind of still feel like I still trying to, like, do the work or whatever to be taken seriously, you know. Like, I always tell people, like, I do look young or whatever, but I'm not as young as I look. You know, but I'm not as young as I look. I'm like, I woke up like this, like all of y'all did. But even though we all woke up like this, we all deserve the same respect, though. We all deserve the same respect. So, yeah, so, like, yeah, that's where I kind of feel like where I'm at in my life still, where I'm at. And that's kind of sad for me to say that, because me pushing 40, I mean, it's just like.
You know what? It's never sad. You got to really look at everything that you're going through. It's called learning experiences. And regardless of if you get it now or later or whatever that's going on in your life, everything that you are embarking on, and trying to elevate or be a greater person or whatever that may be, you got to just take it on the chin and just know, like, everything is not going to be corrected in that time, or you may not learn it right now. It may be a couple years from now for you to kind of click into whatever it is you're trying to become, you know. So don't look at it as sad, and don't look at it as a failure or anything like that. Just understand that we are all in this thing called life, and life be lifing a lot. When you trying to grow and shit be happening, you be like, now you got to go back down to some shit you didn't want to be. Like, now I got to kick your ass. Like, and I was trying not to fight nobody no more. But life be life in sometimes. So you just got to really just understand that it's a learning experience. Everything we're doing is we're just learning to be whatever greater person we're trying to be. So I just want you to know that you're doing good. And that it's not a sad thing or anything, but you're an adult and you're going to have those downs and ups and all the in-betweens, like, but you just got to keep going. So, but yeah, bro. So what about you? Describe the chapter that you in.
Growth, acceptance, accountability, just getting to know who I am more, because a lot of us don't. We say we know who we are until we put in certain situations to make us, like, question who we are. Like, we really built for certain shit until we get to that point where we got to show it. So it's like, that's what I'm working on. That's why self-elevation, basically. Like, you know what I mean? Just being more aware of self.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like I was telling him, it's just learning. Like, you learning you more, and the older you get, you start to learn, like, what makes you tick, what things that you can handle without snapping, or what things that you can handle without, like, and I'll say this, because I feel like sometimes when people pod, it's, to me, it's therapy in a sense, because then you learn things about yourself that you didn't know by hearing other people's opinions. Sometimes you be like, damn, I ain't even think people think like that. Like, so then it puts it into your perspective on, you may go from here and be like, okay, let me put that into my memory bank. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I feel you on that growth thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Christina?
I don't know. Like,
describe this chapter that you in.
This chapter I'm in is like, it's a big transition. Yeah, it's a big transition. I feel like I'm in a different phase in my life, because, like, for a long time, you know, I just been myself, been somebody's mother, and then now it's like this new chapter, like I'm somebody's grandma. So it's like I gotta really, like it's time to, like, I gotta tighten up, like I gotta move up so they can move up, you know, so they can elevate, because I can't be where my daughter is, because she got daughters. So it's like, I'm just in a different you know how you just get a different position at a company or something mm-hmm. like that. Like I'm in a different, now I'm like an elder versus being a young girl, like transitioning from that mentality, you know,
so things like that. So transition to be more of a leader.
A leader, a leading lady.
A leading lady. Okay. Yeah. That's cute. Funny. I like that.
That's funny that you said the word elder.
I like that.
Because ooh. I just told him, like, we are becoming a new set of elders because our elders are leaving us. Mm-hmm. So I only gained that. That's why I feel like this generation kind of lost because of us. Because, not because we don't want to give them the game, it's because they don't know how to take the game that we're going to give them, because they're going to look at it as like we tearing them down, but not knowing, like, this is what our elders did to us, and they ain't tear us down. They built us up and molded us to be the people that we are because they equipped us to be leaders. And that's what bring me back to, like, not even trying to really get in depth to it, but people like, that's why we know about Malcolm X. That's why we know about Nelson mm-hmm. Mandela. That's why we know about Martin Luther King. That's why we know about Coretta Scott King. That's why we know about Rosa Parks and them type of people. And we never really looked at the importance of them, but these was the leaders. And everything that our parents taught us was how to be a leader and a thinker. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And our attention span is so wide to the point that's why we able to dictate these little youngins and these new Gen Z's moves. And we know what they're going to do because we see everything from
right
a bird's eye view.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. we were taught that by us being leaders. So when we give them the game, it's like we don't even want to give it to them because they ain't going to use it and utilize it right like how we're doing.
And I don't mean to cut you off, but I'll say this. The thing of it all is, don't give them, don't just give them, don't, you give them the game, but like they say, just plant the seed mm-hmm. and then just whatever, however it grows, it grows. And if they don't catch on to it or however that seed that you planted in them, and if it don't catch, it just don't catch. Because sometimes you can plant some shit and motherfucker get overwatered and they shit be dead. Like, you be like, well, damn, I told you, but, you know, like, but some people just don't get it.
Because you could pour too much in the person to where
they just don't get it.
They don't know how to really execute yeah, it. Mm-hmm.
They don't. That's just all it is. Like, always plant the seed of knowledge. Like, because that's what we need more in our community.
Mm-hmm. But that's why, that's what I was saying. Like, the Gen Z's don't want the knowledge.
Because yeah, but
you
but,
tell them it, and it's like they want to disregard it because they caught up in this technology and shit. And mm-hmm. thinking, what, it's something new. And we tell them, like, yo, there's nothing new under the sun. And like, and sometimes, like you said, you being a grandparent, and, you know, I could relate. It's like, I be having to go back and get my pictures, certain pictures, with certain things that's out right now to show my nephews and them, like, listen, there's nothing new, especially with George. That's what I really like to do it to them, like, because they be like, yeah, I'm about to get it. And I be like, look, I was 10 okay. years old on this picture. You see these mics?
Go ahead, bro. I feel you. So I got you. Really. But, yeah, you're right. Plant the seed, and you telling them, I get you, all of that. But I'm going to say it, and I'm going to kind of dead it quick, but my, describe what chapter I'm in my life. Mine's is balance. And I'm going to say reason why, because, like, I've been, like, going on this roller coaster ride all in my whole 30s. Just trying to figure out where I want to be in life, how I want to grow, what type of person I want to be. And I feel like at some point, like, now that I'm 40, everything has to make sense to me. Like, I've decided where I'm not arguing with people no more. I've decided where I'm not going to live in fear of expressing who I am to people that I love. Cause I, at one point I used to be where it was like, I didn't want to tell you how I felt about shit. Cause I didn't want you to judge me or how you, cause I know a lot of people, when you tell them something, they get offensive or things like that. So now it's just like, no, I'm going to speak my truth. So I feel like in that aspect of me, this, the chapter that I'm in my life is just trying to find that balance of, like, life and bills and just trying to find some type of peace within all of that, because life is already hard as it is. And I don't want to make it no more difficult than what it is. Like I said, relationships, they come and they go. If you gotta go, you just gotta go. Like, I'm not about to chase you. I'm not about to fight with you. I'm not about to argue with you. I'm just to the point now, it's just like, if the math ain't mathing to my peace and my sanity and where I'm at humbly, then you just got to go. And it go for anybody. Anybody in this room, and I love y'all, cousins, mama, sister, I have to find that peace within myself for me to just chill. Like, I'm in a chill space, and I just want to stay there. Because it's been so much chaos throughout my life, like, and I'm just like, now it's just like,
same here, yeah.
Like, I just want to breathe. Like, I just want to be in the space and love the people that love me back. Like they say, be around the people that love you and that's rooting for you and all those things. So I'm trying to learn to just cope, like, and just stay in that pocket. And if people can't understand it, then it's bye-bye. And I ain't being harsh. I'm not being an asshole. I'm just like, you just not where I'm at right now. And that's just that. Guys, look, this has been great, but look, we gonna get right into this team building. This is the point where I ask y'all 5 questions, and I'm gonna go around the room, and whoever wanna start first, that's fine. But the team building thing exercises why I say in this game, because in this space of you don't pay me enough to care, I do care in a sense, but I don't give a fuck about how I give a fuck about what my co-hosts are saying, how they feel. But I don't give a fuck if y'all don't give a fuck that we care, and we really don't give a fuck how y'all feel. Like, because we going to say how we feel, and it is what it is. Like, so team building basically is to get to know us on a personal level. That's what it is. It's like personal things that you don't know about your co-hosts that they. And I throw these little questions out there, and I'm going to start it off with this one. Where was it at? Okay. Oh, shit. Okay, if your legs were replaced with an animal's legs, what animal would you choose?
I'm about to find out somebody knows about myself. With the animals.
If your legs were replaced with an animal's legs, what legs would you choose and why?
A cheetah.
Damn. That was mine. Because that motherfucker fast as hell. Be
up. Put them dippers on.
Just walk silver. To work. No, okay, just run to work.
Yours is a cheetah because they fast.
Yeah, just run to work. Like, I'm here.
Get the silverback. You know how far they can jump and how strong they lead.
Okay.
So about the silverback, really, that's really the king of the jungle.
They don't knock a motherfucker out.
That's really the king. They people think.
So it's you what's a gorilla name? Marambe. Marambe. Okay.
Caesar.
Okay. Caesar. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I guess an octopus, so I can multitask better.
Oh, damn. Okay. I like that answer.
Killed it.
Did you get that?
Killed
you said an octopus. Yeah. Okay, I like that.
I can definitely multitask. I didn't think of that. I get all these different appendages.
You said animal.
Fish, animal, it don't even matter. It can be in the sea or on land. So you can slap a motherfucker, grab a motherfucker.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Cook dinner.
Drive the car, cook dinner, right? Doing laundry all at the same time.
Damn.
That is a nice one. Damn, I ain't think of that.
Mass is a cheetah. Said cheetah. I fucks with that.
That was a loud one.
Okay. Animal, if my legs.
That's 8
animal.
Legs.
You do a lot with them.
That's a nice one, though. That he said legs. That nigga said, give me 8. That was a good one.
Mass will be a chimpanzee. Because I love monkeys, first and foremost. And the fact that they can swing and they real flexible. They can be... I can hang upside down, all that
grip shit.
You know what I'm saying? Throw some shit at a motherfucker if I want. So might as well be a chimpanzee's. Like, I want to be able to be real flexible and be able to... Because my life is kind of like that, where I'm trying to be flexible in a space where I'm doing all these different things.
And you can climb.
So I can be able to climb high and sit on the top of a tree and just think, like, you know, so, yeah. So mine's a champ. Like, even though it was cheetah, because I did
and
try
as a
that
cheetah,
shit.
Though, even though your legs fast, you know you're always going to land on your feet.
Well, you could have been a jaguar.
Jaguars quick. What you hear what I said? Yeah. You said, like, even though you got them fast-ass legs, you're going to always land on your feet.
Yeah, jump
so
on.
So that's metaphorically where you at in your life. You just trying okay. to land on your feet.
Facts. Facts. So here go the next one, y'all. Who was your role model when you were a child?
My cousin, Sasha Dean. My cousin, Dean. And the reason I say my cousin, Dean, is because, like, people, for one, he did music, he rapped, like, dang, I feel like still to this day, he one of the livest rappers to me, industry, whatever you want to place it, but he was my, like, role model, because I used to, like, it wasn't even so much, how can I put it, everybody respected him, but more people feared him. And it was like me used to seeing that.
I remember Sasha Dane.
And it used to be like me seeing my people.
A lot
like,
of motherfuckers like right scared there, of that
like,
motherfucker.
You can say my people's name and motherfuckers like.
That name hold a lot of weight.
It does. Like,
yeah, I know that name.
And it wasn't even
you remember
so,
Sasha Dane too?
It ain't even so much as like negative to me. I looked at it as a positive thing because I was looking at it like, man, here it is. My cousin can really control a whole fucking city if he wanted to. Just by the power that he holds. And some people, like, in life, God, it's people that God really place in them positions. Like, whether we look at them as being negative or what, it be certain people that's just like that. And he one of them people, like, that can silence a room if he say, be quiet, the room will be quiet. Like, it was the power that I felt that he held. Like, right. You feel me? That it's just like, as a man, like, you... Even though a lot of the negative shit I glorified until I went to see him in jail when I was 14 and he told me, like, hell nah, like, this ain't where you want to be. And, like, he let me know what a gangster was, and he a gangster. It wasn't about him doing what he was doing out there. Nah, he was a gangster because he took care of his people. He had a heart. And he also knew, like, the consequences that come behind the life that he was living. But then he also changed, and that's what made him more of a gangster in my eyes, because what he was doing then, he don't do now. And what he stand on now, he was still standing on then, but it's more enforced because he know who he is. And it's like, man, that's why he was my role model, because it was like,
okay, that's what's like, up. Ian, Christina, one of y'all, who was your role model when you was a child?
When I was a kid, I want to say it was a collective thing of the people that were in my house, because I admire all of my family members, my grandmother, my grandfather, my uncle, and my mother, who I kind of grew up in the house with initially. So I kind of feel like I just kind of took little pieces from all of them and kind of like, you know what I'm saying, and kind of like built myself up from there. So I don't want to kind of say like it was just like one person that stood out the most. It was just really just seeing like all of that together as a collective that kind of like was like, okay, like, because I just had like a really good family structure. I mean, I had somebody going back and forth to work that I was seeing them do that. I had somebody that was cooking and cleaning and keeping the family together. You know, I had somebody being the disciplinarian, making sure that I did things and, you know, on time, whatever. So I'm gonna see it. Yeah, so I'm gonna keep it. Yeah, I'm gonna keep it with. It was a collective. It was a collective thing for me. So. Not just one person.
I think, to be honest, like, growing up, I think one of my biggest role models was probably had it been Tupac, for sure.
Okay.
Because he was able to articulate what was going on with black people. He was able to articulate it to where it reached white people. Like, he was actually able to articulate some of the things that they were... some of the stereotypes they was putting on us, that's what Tupac rapped about. The very, because you notice on all his his albums, you always hear a news clip or something, and then he would go into a song, because this is what they're saying, but this is what's the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I think that Tupac. I think he just had a very big influence on me and and all of my peers and people right. older than me and everything, like right. grown people, like, you know, we like 10 listening to Tupac. Mm-hmm.
But he was influencing us at 10.
Because he was saying things that was like, he wasn't really violent. He was like phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's what I seen in my cousin. Like,
he used to articulate things.
That's what it was, Christina. Like, that's what I seen in my cousin. Like, how you just said, like, he just was one that could really put shit in perspective to make people really understand us.
Okay. What's crazy is, like, he winded up being one of my daughter's favorite rappers, and she was never even on this earth when he was alive, but that was, like, her favorite rapper. She used to love listening, like, she loved him, like, and didn't even, never got to experience him, you know, alive. Right. Like, you ain't never seen Tupac on the awards. You never seen the Tupac video when it first came out. I don't even think she had no CDs. You know what I'm saying? Right. Or no tapes.
How do you even know about this man?
Right. And her favorite song was Brenda's Got a Baby. I said, wow, this your favorite song.
Right. Okay, y'all. So, I'm going to go into who was my role model when I was a child? It was my mother and my grandmother. I watched my mother raise 4 kids by herself, and like by her being so strong and like being able to be a woman, but instill manly ways into 2 men that didn't have their daddies in their life. I looked at her like the ultimate goddamn successor. Like, she was just like He-Man to me. Like, cause how, like, and then this is the thing. She never was the type of mother that ask family to help her, or like, she was always just on her own doing her own thing, and like, she always made sure shit was straight, whether we was on food stamps, whether she had a job, whether it was just always just us. Like, and then, you know, at first it was just me and my brother, and then the 2 girls came in, and then, you know, they got a little spoiled and shit, so me and my brother felt a kind of way about that shit, like, why these little heifers get every motherfucking thing and we didn't get that shit. But it is what it is. But my role model and then I say this with my grandmother, rest in peace, my grandmother Peggy. My grandmother was just fly. Like, she was so creative. Like, she was fly as hell. She stayed with the mink song, with that big old goddamn
church hat.
Dells, but I call them the Cruella DeVille joints, like, where they come leaning on the side. Like, Peggy was the flyest woman that I've ever seen in my life. Like, she stayed smelling good. She was always dressed to perfection. She carried herself with so much, like, her head was, like, above and beyond. Like, you know how they say keep your head above, hell high. But it was just so high to the point, like, you looked at her like she was damn near Jesus. Like, dang, this woman cold. Like, and then another thing I think where I get a lot of my creativity from is my grandmother. Because my grandmother, she knew how to sew. She knew how to draw. She knew how to do so many, like, different artsy things. Like, and she sold a lot of her stuff, too. So I feel like those are my 2 role models. And, like, she saw a lot of stuff in me sometimes that my mother didn't even see in me.
Ain't no love like
your granny. Right. Granny and Sheila Harris. Well, yeah, she had a, and that's the thing. She got a green. She had a green thumb. I mean,
them ain't my roles.
Yeah, like, right. Like, hero. That's happened. Yeah, like, so Granny was like, pops, like even with, like, what she, what piggyback on with Sis was saying, she knew how to paint. She had a green thumb out this way. She was real one with the, like, nature and earth. And, like, so I took all of that in. And that's why I say now where I'm at in life is about balance. And it's silence. Like, and I know a lot of it is going to come with just me being by myself, which is kind of scary to me because I like being around people. I like talking to people.
Like that,
but now I don't even give a fuck now at this point.
Somebody out there that's understanding it and just like,
yeah. Okay, y'all. When you are stressed, what do you do to relax?
I write music and listen to music. It's therapy to me. It's just therapy. Smoking music. And listening to music. Or I sometimes just take a night ride and listen to R&B and smoke. Anything with music, like, it's therapeutic to me. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
As long as I got some music, it balances me out.
Yeah. Ian?
I like to go outside in nature and just kind of like sit and like and take it all in, like go to like a quiet place, like a park or something like that, like a place where I feel comfortable at, and I just be like kind of just like and be by myself for a little bit, and like you say, like I might write or something like that too, or whatever if it's something really going on. But yeah, but just to kind of just to be there, just to be in tune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Christina, when you stressed out, what do you like to do?
It just depends what the stress is, but most of the time, like when I'm stressed out, I just like to kind of like definitely chill out, because when I'm stressed out, I just don't deal with nothing, because I feel like, but with me being stressed out, it just caused me not to make good decisions. I ain't in the right mind frame. So, like, when I'm stressed out, what I try to do is I relax my mind. I might, you know, fix me a couple of drinks or something, take a bath, and then I might just lay there, no TV on, just lay there, just let my, okay. Like, it's time, let me take a nap.
Well, I'm going to pick out what my brother's saying is. Mine's is music. When I'm stressed, I just go straight to music. Like, I love music, like, from the old to the new to the new to the old. And it's, like, so therapeutic to me, because it be stuff that people say in these songs, and I just be like, damn, they really get what I'm going through. Like, you know, and you can really feel that vibration from it. So, yeah, like, listening to music, and sometimes, like, even, I'm about to tell y'all what I be doing. So, I be in here, like, if I'm stressed out. Karaoke. Bruh, I cut on every neon light, and I had a whole light flashing and shit. Like, it's a disco ball, like. Every little neon light that I got on the TV and the lights on the bar and all that shit, I flash it. And then I had a music in my ear, because I put my shit on my ear pods or whatever, my headphones or whatever. And I be in this bitch dancing in dark with just neon lights going, bro. I be in a fucking disco.
Remember I told you, like, you didn't know, like,
yeah,
that I was telling you, like, that's called mood. Light set moods.
Yeah.
So what happens is when you put yourself with the neon light, it brings out the aura in the room.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's what it does. That, like, I just light, be want to dance.
Yeah, because you bring that aura out.
When I'm stressed, I just be want to dance. Like,
in the club is neon.
Fuck
light.
That. Like, cut on the music. Let's have this party. I have a whole concert. By myself.
And this bitch like,
boy, like last night I was in this bitch screaming to the cows. Like, I know my neighbor's like, this bitch up there loud another, as hell. Like,
another form though, like, when you got that music on and you find yourself opening up your window, and then you just start cleaning up and got your house smelling good.
I do that too.
That should be so therapeutic too. Like, when you clean up that house, and that's that Fabuloso, whatever it is, that pad, big boy pass out, whatever you cleaning up, we get the.
I be doing that shit. I do that every
God day. God damn, that'd be so
thirsty. I be dancing even with that shit. Like, well, I be cleaning and dancing. Like, okay, so y'all.
Sage.
Yeah. Here go another one. Now, this one is kind of crazy, but it's cute. What flavor ice cream would you be and why? Child. What flavor ice cream would you be and why?
Chocolate.
Okay, chocolate. Why chocolate? Because you chocolate. Mm. Okay. Well, next.
That would have been that, but mine would be cookies and cream.
Damn. Go ahead, bro. Why, bro?
You just everybody had to take my shit.
Everybody crave it. Everybody crave it.
Damn.
What you would be?
What you would be?
I like a chocolate chip mint.
You love me. Yeah.
Because it's an acquired flavor. Everybody's not like that.
So. Yeah. He always got
did you get that thing? Huh? Did you get what he said? What'd you say?
Well, mint chocolate chip.
Yeah. You said it's acquired.
It's an acquired flavor. So, yeah.
And now that everybody want it, huh?
All right, exactly. Look, I'm on the design for some, not for the week, definitely.
I like.
You said mine. But another
one. Did you want me to switch mine?
No, you good. No, you good, because I got another one that's one of my favorites, though. Mine's is pecan. No, it's...
butter pecan?
It's pistachio. It's a very delicate ice cream that you only can buy in certain brands. Like, I can't think of the brand, but I know it comes in a black top. Like, kind of like that Nutella.
Private selections.
Mm. Yeah, because I'm a kind of a private selection type of guy. So, I'm more of a homemade.
Private selection is Kroger's.
But it comes in the clear shit. The clear thing.
You talk about the organic shit.
It comes in a clear...
sherbet. Say nothing.
I ain't no sherbet motherfucker.
You know they're covered in the clear
But it's pistachio something, and it comes in a clear container. Blue Bunny? Not Blue Bunny. Not Private Selection. It does come in Private Selection, though. But it comes in the one that I buy, and you only can buy it in, like, the little single joints.
Well, what you talking about? Whatever it's, it is. We ain't finna rack our brains.
Pistachio ice cream, cause who the fuck eats pistachio ice cream? Yeah, that shit good as fuck, bro. It's different. It's one of them joints that you be like, god damn, like it's one of them, like, but if it ain't cookies and cream, it gotta be the pistachio joint. Like, man, it's gotta be the chocolate. Okay, y'all, this the last question. We can wrap it up. Choose your age forever. Choose your age forever. What age would you choose and why? Your forever age, and what choose would you want to be and why?
16.
Why 16?
Because that's when we was in school, bro.
We just want to turn.
I gotta take it back, bro. When we is in the eighth grade.
Okay, 16. 16 was a good year. Yeah, that was a good year. That was a good year. What about y'all?
I don't know. That's a hard question.
Right.
Because you asking me to relive some damn years.
Right.
It could be what you in right now.
You asking me to relive some
years. You ain't even got to be old, but it could be what you living in right now.
I think I like this age right here.
Okay. I just say 16 because, bro, it was just so
big. So, hold on, bro. So, you like the age? Why?
Because I know more than I knew when I was younger. So, I like the age that I am. Like, if I could just stay this age, like, right here.
Okay. That'd be fine. I like the thought of that.
You said we got to stay that age forever?
Yeah, you got to stay forever.
Oh, nah, then I don't
know. You're going to get a whooping. You're going to be 16.
Yeah, no, you got to stay in forever.
Oh, nah, then hell nah. Then
you ain't got to get out and get on the drink.
It's okay. Because, you know, that's where I went through. I was shot when I was 25 times. So 21 is where I was really able to really, just enjoy it again. Like, it was...
Another second chance at life.
Yeah, then not only that, like that day when I turned 21, I shot dice. I was like 1,300.
Okay.
Off of 20.
And?
I don't know. That's kind of hard. That's a hard question. It's hard. That's really hard. So. I don't know. Respectfully passed.
I kind of like what Christina said. Because those other ages, I enjoyed them. Don't get me wrong. I really, really enjoyed those ages. But yeah, I think my age now, 40, I would rather stay at this. Because, like, I'm so much more mature and so much more, like, I can see things a little bit more clearer. Even though not saying that I wasn't mature when I was those younger ages, because I really was, but now it's just like I'm at a point now, it's just like I can chill the fuck out now. Like, I don't need to do too much. So I think the age that I'm in, I like what you said, Christina, because it makes a lot of sense to me, because, like, I don't think. I will say this though. I'm gonna go back and I'll say this. When I was 24, because when I was 24, I was in love with this guy, and like that was the best love relationship I've ever had on the face of this earth. Like, we really connected on so many things, and then the fact it's almost like when you find somebody that it's like everybody say everybody has a soulmate or whatever you want to call it. Or kindred spirit or whatever. But I feel like at that age I did find that. Even though it didn't pan out the way I thought it would be. But I found that kindred spirit. And now all these other situations, it's just like, it's just love, but it's not what that was. Like, so I think 24 was a great, great year for me because I really found out what love really meant in a sense where it was like. And then I had so much time, like, so much fun. Like, I got to see the ball drop in New York. And at that age, like, we went and did that. We was, you know, traveling a lot together. Like, so, but, yeah, I think 24 and 40. So, but, yeah, y'all. I don't mean to cut this short because a nigga been having to piss for the last 30 minutes. Like, we back on another episode of You Don't Pay Me Enough to Care, and I am your host, Sebastian. We on episode 49 in this joint, and like I said, guys, this was so informative and very, very, very adultish from our last rah-rah crazy shit, because we all was just, but I love this coming together, and like I said, y'all, we're adding two more people to the show in February, some around tax season, because you know when a nigga get their money, they gonna upgrade some things up any joint. So, you know what I'm saying, we gonna add two more flavors to this thing, and like I said, this is a podcast where everybody is welcome, everybody is accepted, and nobody is being judged, nobody is being hated on, and I just want y'all to know that we all love y'all, and we accept y'all, and we appreciate y'all, and I want to say thanks to our viewers, thanks to, and make sure y'all like, comment, and subscribe to them channels. Get our views up. Get y'all follow us. Fuck with us. Y'all, you know what I'm saying, like, even though you might not, whatever, whatever. Like I said, peace, love, and prosperity. And we out this motherfucker. Cause the nigga got a piss.
This now.
Push that goddamn button.
Sebastian, you don't pay me enough to care. And they don't pay me enough either.